The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
They said it. Every Republican's voted for it. Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let the, he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
So, Mr. President, take your campaign of division and anger and hate back to Chicago, and let us get about rebuilding and reuniting America.
That's it. Well, Romney is clearly the divider, and Obama is clearly the divider. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I see that Mitt Romney has finally told Obama he's had enough of his hate and his division, and he's told Obama to take his hate back to Chicago. I mean, is it enough? Is it too little, too late? And we also should talk about adding Ryan to the Romney ticket. To me, it's like trying to spice up Wonder Bread with white rice, or adding Ryan to Romney is like trying to spice up white bread with white flour. Of course, we've got Obama-Biden on the other side, which is certainly Marx and Frankenstein, that we understand. And Paul Ryan is a certifiably good man, intelligent man, and honest man, but that's not what politics are all about, is it? I personally think it's what it is. We got to back him. Not the best choice. We have other topics on the Savage Nation, very big topics. There was a shooting today at the Washington, D.C. headquarters of the Family Research Council, which is a conservative Christian think tank. They've identified the shooter who shot a security guard, and you can pretty much figure out what his politics are, but the FBI is not saying it's a terrorist event. Speaking of terrorism, a Black Panther on radio said we must create a military to murder white babies in the hospitals and skin white people. I'll repeat it in case it didn't make it to NBC, CBS, ABC, or any of the other channels. A Black Panther spokesman with the name of Sean Coeli on a new Black Panther radio podcast on 7/16/12, courtesy of Breitbart, he said, "I'm in Trenton." Do we have that on sound right now? Play clip 8.
I'm in Trenton, New Jersey, right now, my hometown, Black. But we're too weak and sissy to go into Ewing and Lawrenceville and Hamilton, New Jersey, and even across the damn bridge to Marsville and drag some of these damn rusty, dusty-ass crackers out of their home, skin their asses alive, hang their asses up by some damn rope and some trees, stick the pit bulls on them, pour acid on their asses, dump them in the damn river, bring them back up, bust them in the head with rocks. We're just too damn scared for any of these type of maneuvers. If you want to be free, you babies just born 3 seconds ago. You're going to have to go into the damn nursery and just throw a damn bomb in the damn nursery and kill everything white in sight.
Kill everything white in sight. Now, Janet Napolitano, who runs the sorority house called the Department of Homeland Security, is still focused on those opposed to abortion and returning military veterans. Certainly not on those who just shot up the Family Research Council or the Black Panthers, who must say we must murder white babies and skin white people. No, she's still focused on anti-abortionists. Well, we can talk about these questions. Who do you think is the biggest terrorist threat in America today? Militia groups, returning war veterans, conservatives critical of big government, or Black Panthers of the type you just heard who have made violent racist threats against white people? Why do you think the Obama administration refuses to act against these Black Panther threats? I'm asking you a question. And I guess you're not interested in the answer, so we can move on. There are many other questions that can be discussed here on the Savage Nation, such as, do you think Joe Biden is mentally fit to continue serving in the office of Vice President of the United States? 1-800-449-8255. Do you think Obama will be able to register enough illegal aliens to vote before the election, to steal the election for him and the illegal Democrat Party? That's right. While you slept, Obama, by the way, should be impeached, in my opinion, for what he did. No man should have this much power to override the people and the Congress and grant amnesty to several million illegal aliens, non-citizens, and register them as fast as he can before the election, hoping they will go to polls and vote without any identification. As far as I am concerned, the entire federal apparatus is an illegal apparatus in terms of the illegal aliens. I've never seen anything like this. Now, Romney is the spokesman. He's doing as much as he can. He's afraid he's going to alienate the other side. But my God, it's unbelievable to me to see what Obama is getting away with. It really is unbelievable to me personally. And while you were busy wondering about the Olympics and watching girls in skimpy bikinis hitting balls over nets, and while your great commander-in-chief, Bhagwan Sri Obama, was raising money, the Russians sent an attack submarine into the Gulf of Mexico armed with long-range cruise missiles, and it went undetected. Because, you see, Admiral Obama has told the U.S. Navy not to worry about Russia. Admiral Obama, the great commander-in-chief, has told the U.S. Navy, don't worry about Russia. Don't focus on running your submarines. Focus on getting those old submarines ready for the sorority houses they're going to become in the new Navy. Because, you see, we need women in the sub fleet. We don't need subs that can detect silent-running Russian attack submarines. What we need is a new Navy, a new military, a new submarine fleet that is sensitive and diverse. That's what's important, not one that can defend America against incoming missiles or Russian attack submarines sailing around the Gulf of Mexico. What we need is a diverse submarine fleet. These are some of the topics. There are many more. I can get you sicker by the minute. Can someone out there answer this question? Why is the U.S. military buying so many millions of rounds of ammunition, hollow point ammunition, which is meant to tear flesh to ribbons? Why are they buying hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammunition? Here's a new story. The Social Security Administration put out an order to buy 174,000 rounds of bullets, not bullets meant to be used on a target range, not bullets meant to tear paper, but hollow point rounds meant to tear flesh apart. A solicitation posted by the Social Security Administration on the FezBizOps website asks for contractors to supply 174,000 rounds of 357 SIG 125 grain bonded jacketed hollow point pistol ammunition. Why is your government soliciting bids for ammunition? Why are they shipping it to 41 locations within 60 days of purchase? Why is this following other administration divisions ordering hollow point ammunition? Why is the military conducting various and sundry events around America? For example, you may not know this, there are drills going on with semi-automatic rifles, canines sifting through various buildings. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration put out a contract of 46,000 rounds of hollow point bullets along with 500 paper targets. Why? They initially asked the bullets to be delivered to the National Weather Service. Back in March, Homeland Security, the sorority house, purchased 450 million rounds of 40 caliber hollow point bullets that expand upon entry into flesh and rip apart organs. Why does the DHS need such a large amount of powerful bullets for training purposes? Because they're not for training purposes. And at the same time, Obama is doing nothing about threats to kill white people by Black Panthers. So if you really look at these things in an objective manner, you can come to two conclusions. One, they're disconnected and there's no threat to the social order. Or two, there is a deep plan within the federal government. Well, I'll let you fill in the blanks because I'm not the only one thinking these horrible thoughts. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hero guard shot thwarting attack at Family Research Council. After the guard took away his gun after getting shot in the arm, the man who attacked the conservative Christian group said, "Don't shoot me. It was not about you. It was what this place stands for." The gunman was identified as Floyd Lee Corkins II, age 28. I wonder what his issues are. I really wonder what his issues are. We have no idea, of course, because the gunman may have been carrying a bag from Chick-fil-A, the fast food restaurant whose president came under fire from gay activists after he said he did not agree with same-sex marriage. So I guess this was a love attack by the individual attacked the Family Research Council. The FBI certainly wouldn't classify this as a hate attack, even though a shot was fired. It was a love attack. Because when you live in Brave New World, you can make anything out to be anything you want it to be. Hate can be love. Love can be hate. Truth can be falsehood. Falsehood can be truth. War is peace. Peace is war. Stealing is balancing the budget. Unbelievable to me. You know, I don't speak to a lot of strangers, but often I'm stopped. Well, let's say when I'm stopped in the street by people who may recognize Teddy. They don't recognize me. I'm only an invisible talk show host. They all say the same thing to me. Mike, how much longer do you think this country can last under Obama? Do you think we'll still have our freedoms if this administration should win a second term? And they're all preparing to move to farms, ranches, and hunker down. They're preparing for a civil unrest. They fear this government is illegitimate. They fear they're going to unleash some kind of armed militia against the citizens. They really fear this man. They really fear this government. You may say that's a good thing. I don't think it's a very good thing for citizens to fear a government. That's something you see in North Korea or in fascist China. Speaking of China, it's a fascist country. I have a Chinese friend. I will call him a friend. I've known him for many years. I can't say we're close friends. And he's Chinese-American. I said, "Do you often go to China?" He said, "I went twice. I don't like it." I said, "Why?" He said, "It's a dictatorship. I feel uncomfortable." He said, "The police follow you around in China, especially if you're an American." And there's your answer. Now, we don't know any of this because of guys like Henry Kissinger and Madame Albright, who are lobbying to turn America into China as fast as they can, in my estimation. But let's not get blinded by our greed, and let us not forget what we're dealing with there. I'm very concerned that a Russian attack submarine was cruising around the Gulf of Mexico for a few days or a few weeks, and it went unnoticed by our once great submarine fleet, which fundamentally now has been transformed under Obama into a, well, something other than a submarine fleet given to protecting America. It seems to be a submarine fleet given to protecting diversity. Let's take your callers on the Savage Nation. Let's begin in Delaware with Matt. Matt, go ahead, please.
Hey, Mr. Savage, how you doing today? I just want to point out, I have to apologize to everybody, that people in Delaware are not like Joe Biden. And second, the reason I think the Obama administration is not doing anything about the Black Panthers is because if you look back to when the one was in Philadelphia during the last...
Okay, he broke up. Thank you. 1-800-449-8255. George in Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I feel that the Black Panther thing, not only was it uncalled for and absolutely repulsive, but I happen to think that the person who was saying that is either A, works with the FBI, or B, is an informant for the FBI. There is no way you can go spewing that on the radio, calling for all of that violence, and not have people immediately at your doorstep. What if you were to do that, Dr. Savage?
I wouldn't do it. But if anyone on a legitimate radio station went in to say, go into neighborhoods and hang people, set them on fire, sick pit bulls on them, the FBI would be knocking at their door. So you suspect that the Black Panther who said this is actually a double agent?
Absolutely. Just like Hal Turner, the white supremacist. That was confirmed. That came out. He was a federal agent. Remember,
so, well, let me see if I can follow your thinking. So Black Panther spokesman Sean Coeli is a good man, not a bad man?
No, he's He's a subversive is what he is. He's they're using the Hegelian principle for social and political change. Remember, these people want to foment racial unrest. Remember the Trayvon Martin incident. They want this divide. They have nothing else. Obama has absolutely nothing else to run on, so he has to divide and conquer. Classic tactic.
Well, I don't know. How would I know who the guy is? I just know that this kind of rhetoric is very incendiary, and maybe it goes on quietly behind the scenes, but to go out on the airwaves and have no reaction is astounding to me. You could say it's one crazy person. You could say it's one crazy person. Why pay attention to him and just dismiss it and then say, I'll worry about it, you know, when they come knocking on my door. I have my Remington ready for him. Let him come. A lot of guys say, you know what? Anyone could say anything, but go ahead. Try to cross that line. We're waiting for you, you know. So why worry about it? But you know what's more worrisome is why the U.S. government, rather, is buying hollow point bullets. Why are they buying millions of rounds of ammunition? Why? Listen to the next caller. Let's see if we can fire this one in. Ron in Wisconsin, tell us your main point. Go ahead, please.
Yes, when I was in the military, and I'm sure it still is in every NATO country, the military, it's illegal to have hollow point bullets. You have to have ball ammunition, full copper-coated.
So why would the DHS be ordering hollow point bullets, which are meant for tearing flesh and organs apart?
Well, it's just an administration that's out of control, and to shoot your own people in your own country, I guess you don't have to conform to NATO standards.
People are frightened that this administration is like a rogue, anarchistic governmental regime that's getting ready to foment some kind of civil disobedience, or actually worse, a civil war. People are afraid of this government. I would be remiss not to mention these things. Okay, we'll move on.
Savage.
So we have a Black Panther spokesman encouraging blacks to kill white babies and skin white people alive and hang them. No reaction from the Department of Homeland Security. We have an apparent gay activist opening fire at the Family Research Council. The FBI says there's no evidence yet to charge it as any kind of terrorism. It's beyond I can't tell you what this is looks like to me. It's amazing to me, but Obama's unleashing like the genie in the bottle. Suspect was taken into custody by the FBI and was being interviewed. So the Associated Press, which is a far less left organization, identifies the Family Research Council, quote, as a conservative Christian lobbying group, as though there's something wrong and dirty about those two words, conservative and Christian. If it was an unconservative, anti-Christian lobbying group like the ACLU, it would be given a Presidential Medal of Freedom. The FRC advocates faith, family, and freedom in public policy and public opinion. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, as you well know, is a hate group, defines the FRC as a hate group. I swear to you, the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center, which is clearly a hate group, a controversial hate group, but a hate group, identifies this group that was attacked today by a lone gunman as a hate group. So they've, in other words, encouraged this shooting. In my opinion, the Southern Poverty Law Center, by listing the Family Research Council as a hate group on their website, has encouraged this kind of violence. By the way, the reason the so-called Poverty Law Center defines FRC as a hate group is because of its stance against homosexuality. Online, critics are saying the FRC is ignorant, disproven backwards values. And another one says, that's why we fight. And yet, many of us consider the Family Research Council to be the most powerful religious right lobbying group in the country, or one of the best. And it certainly is a bedrock of conservative family principles, very patriotic, fabulous organization. Tony Perkins is a wonderful guy. And now look what's happened in this country under Obama. Take a look at what's happened. They're unleashing the hatred. That's what I see. Now, I'm not getting too excited today, as you can see. I'm not screaming and yelling because I don't have to. I don't have to scream and yell. You've got a gunman, a gay activist, obviously, going into the Family Research Council. And before he opens fire at the guard, he says, I'm against your anti-gay stance. Then he opens fire on the guard. That's according to ABC 7. You may not have read it yet on your local paper. So that's number one. Then you got the other thing going on. Then you got the government buying hollow point bullets. It goes on and on here. I mean, then you got a crazy vice president saying that Romney and Ryan are going to put blacks back and you all back in chains. It's beyond belief. Like we're living in a time warp here. What's this? What else is in the mail? State officials announce, this is in New York State, $450,000 in grants to groups aiding illegal aliens. Just days before hundreds of thousands of young illegal aliens begin to apply for work permits. Listen to this. You got poor people, poor whites, poor blacks, poor Hispanics, poor Chinese, poor Koreans who don't have jobs. Obama legalizes illegal aliens. Now he's giving them work permits. New York State under Cuomo has offered to give a $450,000 grant to groups that can help out the illegal aliens get jobs. The grants will support clinics. What's a clinic? Clinic, that's such a leftist term, isn't it? When they get a grant, they use it for a clinic. Clinic. A workshop. What's a workshop? They're just to be fraternities and sororities for communists, workshops and clinics. And, of course, legal services. Those are for failed lawyers who can't get real jobs. In New York State, an estimated 80,000 illegal aliens between the ages of 15 and 30 could currently benefit, according to the Migration Policy Institute. So that's what's going on. New York State's giving $500,000 to help illegal aliens take the job of poor whites. This just came out from the Associated Press. The shooting suspect at the Family Research Council was volunteering at a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender center. Shooting suspect was volunteering at an LGBT center. As you well know, LGBT centers are filled with love. And you well understand that although the man shot a security guard, he did it out of love, not out of hate. Because in the Brave New World, only Romney and Ryan are capable of hate. The Black Panthers are not capable of hate because they have righteous grievances. I mean, hatred about killing and hanging crackers and setting them on fire, put acid on them, dunking them in the river. This is because, well, it's years of the pain, the built-up pain. And they have every right to feel that, the Black Panthers. But white people have no right to any kind of feelings of defense. See, there's no reason for you to feel that you have any right to anything if you're a white person. You should give up your rights, as a matter of fact. You should give up your house and your car for past sins. Guard injured in shooting at Conservative Family Research Council. Gunman posed as intern, carried bag from Chick-fil-A. Now it just came out he was a volunteer. Beowulf, where'd you get that from? They sent it to who? No, but who? How did you get the info that he was volunteering at an LGBT center? Oh, it is a story. It finally came out. Ah, I can't believe the Associated Press published it. 1-800-449-8255. Call us from around America. You're welcome to call the show. Larry in New York, welcome from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Doc. It's nice to be on again. You know, I think you're giving Obama, as usual, too much credit for his intelligence. The bottom line is, I bet the Israelis read the Riot Act to us that they're going to hit the Iranians before November, whether we like it or not. And what the government is doing now is panicking and buying ammunition because they know if that happens, there's going to be an all-out assault on our federal buildings by agents of Hamas and other radical groups that have been here for years. And it just
you know, that's pretty cool. Look, that's a good game of chess you just played. So, in other words, I shouldn't fear that the sorority called the Department of Homeland Security is going to turn those hollow points on me.
No, because, first of all, you notice the Republicans, this has been on drudge for over a week now, for almost 2 weeks. You notice you haven't heard one peep out of the Republicans about this. I mean, you got guys like Ron Paul, ISA, who really would have, you know, dug into it and made a factor out of it. But you notice how quiet they are. And I absolutely think that this is in response to a threat that we're facing that's going to occur within the next 60 days.
Well, you mean if Israel attacks Iran, the Hezbollah and other fellow travelers of the Islamic Front here in America will start a wave of terror and the federal agencies want to be prepared? Is that fundamentally your point?
Exactly. Because
I don't, hey, that's it, it. First of all, that's certainly a rational theory, but I would be shocked to believe that this government, given its, let us say, friendliness towards those folks, would even consider fighting them, even on our own soil.
Yeah, but you know something? They're protecting their own, and that's what it boils down to. There's not going to be a cordon of guys with, you know, automatic rifles surrounding your house. They're going to be protecting all the government buildings.
Well, they got to protect the sorority houses called the federal government.
Yeah, right? I would agree with you on that.
And also, I mean, they're very busy planning their next the junkets to Hawaii, and their vacations and their retirement funds are being calculated by the moment. That's the government of business right now. But in all seriousness, you really think Israel's going to attack Iran on the bigger level? On a bigger level, that's what you think is behind this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, look, I predicted that Israel's going to work on that a long time ago as the October surprise. And if Israel does, it's being done for Obama. Is that correct?
No, it's being done for Israel. Obama is coincidental.
Come on now. You're not telling. Now I disagree with you. Israel would do nothing to offend this administration. Nothing.
I don't know. I would, you know, when it comes to survival, it's amazing what people will do.
Well, wait, hold on. Yeah, no, I understand. But why didn't they do it last month? Why are they waiting for just before the election when they know that will slam dunk Obama back into the White House?
I don't think it would. I absolutely don't think it would slam dunk him back in. It would show that Israel is fighting for its own interests. And, you know, I think the way the Israelis are reading it right now, they've been playing this rope-a-dope game with Obama long enough. And their intelligence is probably a hell of a lot better than ours in that part of the
world. I'm not so sure. You know, I keep hearing about the vaunted Israeli intelligence and the vaunted Israeli this. I think we overestimate Israel today. This is not the Israel of Golda Meir anymore. This is the Israel of Macy's and charge accounts at Bloomingdale's in New York.
No, I would disagree on that. I think that's what it is. I think the timeline is right. He's spot on with it. And originally they said they've got to hit him before the end of the year, if you go back to
But why now? Why just before a presidential election? Why not in June?
Because I think they acquiesced to everything our government was asking him to do. And every time they started to gear up, the idiot Secretary of Defense we have, Panetta, blew their plan as far as the adjoining country to Iran that was giving them...
Let me ask a question of my audience, because you've raised one that's bigger than any of the other issues on the table, and it's a big issue. War is always a horrible choice. War is the last resort of diplomacy, as you well know. Do you think that if Israel were to launch an attack against Iran, and the war went on for a month or two, God knows how long, that Romney would win by a landslide, or it would reusher in Obama? I'm going to open that up to my audience. What do you think would happen? Would it help Romney or Obama in plain English?
I think that Romney would win because.
But what? Wait. If Israel attacks Iran, does it help Romney or does it help Obama?
It helps Romney because Romney's a stronger image, a stronger figure. Obama's a weakling. Everybody knows it. Like most.
Oh, wait, hold on. It's not about a strong or weak. Oil goes through the roof. It's $300-$400 a barrel. Gasoline's $10 a gallon. Does that help Obama or help Romney?
I don't think it's going to hurt Romney. I really don't, because it's not his call. Obama, fooled around with this thing for over a year, almost 2 years now, and has only made the situation worse. I think his chickens are going to come home to roost.
All right. Well, it's an interesting question. If you'd like to chime in on this issue of Israel attacking Iran, and would it help Romney or Obama, I'd be very curious as to what you say. And also, who is the hollow point ammunition for? The last caller is a very clever man, very intelligent man, very analytical man. He believes this hollow point ammunition that the government is buying is not to be used against U.S. citizens per se. He believes it is a defensive maneuver by the federal government to protect themselves against attacks from Islamists within this United States of America who have slipped in here under loose, if non-existent, immigration laws, a DHS that has turned its back on its mandate, a federal government that has opened the border to Mexico, and they basically are fearing an Islamic uprising here in the United States of America from sleeper cells of Hezbollah, and they're going to use them on them. What do you think? I'll be right back.
Savage.
At the best of times, the worst of times. It's still summertime. It's the middle of August. The kids are still out of school. People are relaxed. You know, you haven't missed a meal. The Black Panthers haven't missed a meal in their entire life. A lot of this is just hogwash, okay, in plain English. It's all hot air. The country's still a great place to live in. And there will always be people with more than others, and that's the end of it. Now, you can't worry about everything a lunatic says, whatever their affiliation may be. Now, the rubber meets the road, or so to speak, when a bullet enters a security guard's arm. So when a gay radical from the LGBT center picks up a gun, goes into the Christian Conservative Family Research Council and shoots a guard in the shoulder, then you know that the genie has been unleashed from the bottle by Obama. When you start to hear the rhetoric which precedes the violence amping up, you know that it's the Democrats feeding this hate into the minds of the weak-willed, and it gets a dangerous time. Without Michelle, Obama gorges like Clinton. When it comes to gorging on every plate of chops and beer put in front of him, campaigning without his wife through Iowa this week, Mr. Obama diverted his bus several times to diners and restaurants and abandoned his calorie-conscious diet. As he played hooky from his diet through Iowa until Michelle arrived Wednesday, Obama cheated with a 550-calorie snow cone, an 880-calorie cinnamon bun, pork chops, and a gallon of Bud Light, as well as brewed White House beer stashed on his party bus. At a campaign stop over 3 days, this is what the press is reporting now. Not the illegality, not the stolen money, not the missing money, not the bridges to nowhere, not the trillions of dollars to cronies. They're reporting that Obama ate a snow cone drizzled with watermelon, lime, and cherry syrup, a pork platter, muffins, cinnamon rolls, Bud Lights, fried eggs, and hash browns. Well, he's just a regular guy under a lot of stress. Just a regular guy like you. That's all. Just a regular guy ordering hollow point bullets for various and sundry federal departments. Anywho, here we are. You really want to talk about this stuff? I mean, there's a lot of... How much can you take of it? Let me give you some local San Francisco news. The city where Michael Savage is banned from the airwaves. Here's the headline in a local newspaper that they put out in a giveaway box. In fact, all the newspapers here are given away for free. It says, wake up call. It shows bums asleep in the public library. And it says, snoozing and disturbances are up at Main Library, though officials claim better enforcement. This is the same Main Library that permits perverts to download child pornography in the library. In fact, there's almost, well, let's leave it at that. So we got a Main Library being used as a toilet for the bums. Here's a shocker that you're never going to believe. The Cal State University system, which is fundamentally a free university system, has prohibited any state residents from enrolling in any graduate programs. Only out-of-state residents will be permitted to enroll in graduate programs. Let me repeat that because it's hard to comprehend. The state of California, the California State University system, which is sort of a second-tier university system, has halted enrollment for California residents in grad programs. Only out-of-state residents can apply. Anti-Islamic ads on the buses spark outrage. Here in San Francisco, let's see what happened here. Savage ads on Muni stir debate. It's not about me. Policy as pro-Israel campaign sparks major outcry. A series of controversial advertisements on San Francisco buses has spurred a signature gathering effort to remove the signs. And what the signs say is, in any war between the civilized man and the savage, support the civilized man, support Israel, defeat jihad. Apparently that is offensive. Ah, here it is, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the terrorist front group. The ads paid for the American Freedom Defense Initiative, an organization deemed a hate group by the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which is unto itself a hate group, defines any group that disagrees with far-left policies as a hate group, and they're advising the Obama administration. Unbelievable to me. That's unbelievable to me. The New York Metropolitan Transportation Agency attempted to bar these ads, Geller's group, from using the same advertising campaign on its buses, but a federal judge ruled against the agency last month, deeming the ad protected speech. You like this? These are expressed political opinions, and they are protected speech. The sign said, support the civilized man, support Israel. That's not over the top. That is not over the top. How do you like that? In San Francisco, you're allowed to support Israel? How is that possible? This is the land of the Black Panther and the radical communist. How can they support Israel? You can't even mention the word Israel in the streets of San Francisco without people raising their eyes, dashing from one restaurant or one sporting event to another. But that's the world we live in. Things are changing. The shifting kaleidoscope of the United States of America and the world sands as they go by. I'm sitting here watching it as the world goes by. I'll be back in a moment right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Dungaree-doll, paint your initials on my jeans. So all right, welcome to Savage Nation. Here's the thing. Look, the world is in flux. In plain English, it's a perplexing time for people of the mind. If you're a dumb idiot who walks around in Bermuda shorts and thinks things have always been this way and nothing's going to change, you know, so nothing affects you and there's no point in talking to you. There's no point in my addressing those amongst you who think that there's no danger, it's always been this way, it's the same as always, don't make such a big deal of it. I don't suggest talk radio for that audience, okay? But then there's a wider audience of people who are far more conscious of the changing and shifting tides, and they sense, they feel, they know we have the most corrupt, divisive administration in history. We have a naked Marxist in the White House. We have a too tepid opposition party afraid to say a word for fear of being called a radical or a racist. And we're all afraid that if Obama gets reelected, he is going to unleash an absolute anarchy upon us, an anarchy of the government, a government anarchy, as it were, unlike any this country has ever seen. That's what people really fear in their guts. That's the zeitgeist of the undercurrent in this country. Now, to continue along these lines right now in commercial talk radio is very difficult for me, and I'll tell you why. As I speak with you, there are things changing. It's large groups weeding out conservatives. You've got ad agencies boycotting conservative radio, and yet the audience for conservative radio has never been bigger. The audience for conservative radio has actually grown exponentially under Obama. And ironically, the stations are afraid of talk radio, especially conservative talk radio, under Obama, for I think for obvious reasons, because Obama controls the FCC. Obama controls how many station groups they can buy, how many different media outlets they can own in any one city. So naturally, they want to appease the administration, and they want to weed out conservatives. And having said that, I mean, it's a difficult time to be in talk radio. The age of freedom in talk radio is over. It's been over a long time, but right now it's coming to a crashing conclusion, in my opinion. So I'm leading up to something. Yesterday, I had a whole day of reflection. And I sat, I know you're going to say, oh, he's making this up. You could think what you want. It really doesn't matter. I'm going to tell it from my point of view. Yesterday, I spent the day in San Francisco, and I was alone all day, and I had the Bible with me. I had the Bible with me for a number of reasons. I don't carry it around like a nut and show it around. But I was in an Indian buffet restaurant, leafing through the Bible. I'll give you a strange reason I had it with me. It has about 300 Post-its in it by now. From all the years I've made little notes of this remark and that remark, and I'm not a particularly religious person, but some of the language and some of the prophecies of the Bible are very hard to ignore in perplexing times like these, right? So for my own simplistic reasons, and I'll give you the reason in a second, I had the Bible with me. I'm eating a buffet lunch, and I'm reading the Bible. An Indian lady says to me, is that a Bible you're reading? I said, yes. She was a Muslim, I think. And she was very, I think, interested because who reads a Bible in an Indian buffet except Michael Savage? Nobody. The reason I brought the Bible with me is a strange reason. I'm going to tell it to you right now. You know I wrote a novel called Abuse of Power about Jack Hatfield, and many of you bought it. St. Martin's published it. It was a shock runaway bestseller. Then I had a two-book deal at the time. So the second novel in the series will be out next spring, and it's called A Time for War. Now, where I got A Time for War as a title is the Bible. I was reading Turn, Turn, Turn from Ecclesiastes. Remember that? Play a Turn, Turn, Turn while I'm flipping through the Bible to find it. Here it is. But play it. You can find the music by the Mamas and the Papas, I think. But to everything there is a season and a time. Let's pause right there. And this was a great song, and when I was young, I didn't know it was not written by the rock group that sang it. It was written by God and published by Ecclesiastes way back when. And the poetry, the language is astounding. It says it all. A time to be born and a time to die, you know. So I had read this, and I found the title for my second novel coming out in the spring called A Time for War. The publisher loved it. We had a different working title, and I didn't like it. And after the book was written, I said, let me find a new title. And in about 10 minutes, I stumbled upon it. Because when I was young, I was only a writer. I mean, I was a teacher, a social worker, but I was always writing. And I remember learning that some of the greatest titles of my time all came from the Bible or from Shakespeare. And interestingly enough, a very religious scholar told me that Shakespeare was the only piece of English literature that he thought approached the Bible. That's because Shakespeare was probably a religious man at some point. We don't know who Shakespeare was. So you look at some of the titles. Let's take some of them. For Whom the Bell Tolls, Ernest Hemingway, from the Bible, right? John Steinbeck, The Winter of Our Discontent, from the Bible. I can name five other great titles of great literature, all taken from the Bible. So I said, why should I be any different? So I came up with A Time for War that'll be out in the spring, right? But that book's been written now for a few months. So now I can't tell you how many, but a new book deal has been signed for more novels with Jack Hatfield in them. And I'm actually thinking about novel number three during my spare time. It's helping me through some pretty hard times right now, because fundamentally I'm a writer, and when all else fails, I go back to a pen and a notebook and I write. It's probably the most satisfying thing I can do. It's the most stabilizing thing I can do. When I see ink to pen, it's like a painter seeing his paint on a canvas. It's like a sculptor seeing his hands on a piece of clay. In other words, I have to see it. It's tactile. I found that I can't paint. I found that I can't play an instrument. I found that I can't sing. There's only one thing I can do, talk and write. So I'm sitting with the book, and I see this. I'm looking and looking and looking. I say, well, what can I call number three? I can't call it A Time to Kill, because that's been used before I mean, 10 different novels were written on it. But nevertheless, so I can't find the title, and I go back to the third dish in the Indian restaurant, and then I start flipping through the Bible, and I see the piece on the chosen people, the Jewish people being the chosen people. And a thought occurs to me why the fundamentalist Christians have such an enchantment and a reverence for Jewish people. Forget, you got to understand something. Let me continue with that thought before I go into the side thought. In Deuteronomy, it's written, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be his own treasure out of all peoples that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy with him that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hate him; he will repay him to his face." So God in Deuteronomy is telling the Jewish people two things. He's saying you were chosen, but you have a burden. You weren't chosen to walk around and being a thieving, lying human being. You weren't chosen to walk around and lord it over other people and say, "I'm this. I was chosen. I'm better than you." That's not why you were chosen. You were chosen because it's a burden that you were chosen. And you were chosen to follow the commandments and to be a light unto the nations. And if you as a chosen person is not better than the average, and if you are not a lamp unto the nations, and if you are not a light unto into the darkness, then you are worse than the worst of the worst, because you were chosen to do something noble. And so you can't permit yourself to be anything less than that, is what I thought to myself as I went back for the third dish on the buffet and overate. Then I went and I fed my inner diabetic, which is a very funny line. I said that to myself at the end of the day. I never eat frozen yogurt. I eat it once a year. For some reason, after three lunches, I wanted a sugar rush. So I went to a little custard place owned by a Russian lady. I haven't seen her in a year. And she said, "Michael, how are you? How's your radio show?" And blah, blah, blah. And boy, I got a sugar rush. It was fabulous. And here we are. We're sitting with the world going around. Things are in flux. We know something's wrong. We know that we have a corrupt, divisive presidency. We know that we have a corrupt administration. We know that the administration caters to illegal aliens and seems to almost have a contempt for patriots. We know that we have an administration that cozies up to Islamists and hates Israel. We know it. We don't have to read it in the Associated Press to know this. We are not dummies. We can see it with the actions of the administration. We can see it by who he visits, who he caters to, who he bows to, who he doesn't bow to. We see who Obama is, those of us who are conscious. We don't need it to be told to us by Joe Biden. We don't need the Associated Press to interpret for us. We don't need any of those evildoers on television, on MSNBC, to tell us what we know to be true. You know, we know what truth is. And these are very perplexing times. And in our hearts, we know that if Romney Ryan, as tepid and as middle of the road as they are, if they do not win, we know that everything is up for grabs, including our very freedoms themselves. And on that note, I will pause right now and take your calls at 1-800-449-8255. I'll have all the news upbreaks for you, updates as I return.
Savage.
When under stress, I tend to eat a lot, like Obama does, and I eat junk food, like Obama does. And I think I'm having a sugar collapse today. I can't have any more sugar. But yesterday was a great day. I mean, eating all those Indian meals and having the sugar for dessert was great. Reading the Bible in the Indian buffet restaurant was even better. And it's a funny thing. I mean, when you have the Bible around you, even if you read it from a literary perspective, it tends to shape your day in a different way. It's a strange thing. We are influenced by what we read. We're influenced by what we see on television. We're influenced by what we watch in the movie theater. were influenced by a president who encourages racial division, class warfare. And so you see the crazies going off now. The LGBT volunteer picking up a gun and shooting a guard at the Family Research Council. He didn't do that in a vacuum. He did it because Obama has unleashed the genie of hate. The new Black Panther Party saying that we must hang white people, create military to murder white babies and skin white people. I didn't make that up. That is happening because Obama has unleashed the genie. And, you know, you say, well, okay, these are crazy people, and it's true, it's, you know, random. But it's having its effect on people. It's having its effect on all of us. So I wrote I have a newsletter that comes out maybe once every few days from WorldNet Daily, and they mail it to you if you're on my list, which is free. And I happened to read one that they published of something I said last week that I'm going to read to you. Savage, I dreamed Romney was Abraham Lincoln. And here's what I wrote. It's a shorty. Nancy Pelosi recently claimed she's been visited by the spirits of famous American women of the past. Savage told listeners, if I ever had a vision like Nancy Pelosi did, I'd have to call 9/11 and ask to be relieved of my duties. That said, Michael Savage admitted to having a dream about American politicians, past and present, that gave him plenty to think about. I dreamed that Mitt Romney was Abraham Lincoln, Savage said, adding, now, Lincoln was not such a decent man. He was a petty, vicious, horrendous murderer, incidentally. But image-wise, I somehow morphed Romney and Lincoln. If you actually study Lincoln, he was a ruthless politician. He decimated the South for no reason. He had his generals burn southern cities to the ground. Yet he's seen as the great liberator. But you have to see the bigger picture. There are arguments that the Civil War had nothing to do with slavery, or very little to do with slavery, that it was more of an economic war between the North and the South. I don't want to get into that right now. What's relevant is the fact that I dreamed that Romney was Lincoln. That means that in my inner mind, he's coming across as a sort of tragic figure. That's the whole point. We're no longer living in 1860. You see, back then, if you had a tragic look about you, it was somewhat appealing to a nation that still had morality and still understood that there was a God in heaven. But America no longer has any sympathy with a man who has a tragic look. Today, everybody wants a winner. They want a fake winner with fake teeth and fake hair, fake heart, fake soul. In other words, they want a complete phony. Therefore, with Romney as the GOP candidate and a liar on the other side, we have real trouble on our hands. I'll let you figure out what that means. But you see, you can't predict what I'm about to say, nor how I see things. More particularly, you cannot predict how my subconscious sees things and sorts things for me. Okay? Let's go to the callers, Boston, Massachusetts, WRKO. James, welcome. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
How are you? You think Ryan's white toast on white rice? Don't we need two squeaky clean guys in there besides what we have in there?
I think that people have missed my point. Ryan is a good man and an honest man and an intelligent man, but I think that the ticket, per se, has not been augmented by Ryan. I think that it has simply doubled the image of Romney as a middle-of-the-road white male, which is not a bad thing, but it's not going to galvanize the voter base that we need. That was my point.
Well, no, they're two good-looking guys, yeah. I mean, who would you rather have?
Well, who would I rather have? I think he should have chosen either a woman, or for me, he should have chosen Alan West, a certified war hero, and let the left go ballistic on the African-American war hero Congressman Alan West. I think that a Romney-West ticket would have been a game changer. And I think it would have ended Obama's ability to marshal the race card, incidentally. So that would have been my choice. But the party apparatchiks would never have chosen Alan West. They hate the Tea Party. They seem to hate war heroes more than they hate the Tea Party. And in particular, they hate anybody who's outside the establishment. So to me, it should have been Romney Alan West, not Romney Ryan. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So we're living in a crazy time, that's all. A LGBT volunteer goes into a conservative Christian lobbying group, confronted by a security guard, shoots the security guard in the arm, and then he's wrestled to the ground. And Obama, Department of Homeland Security, FBI, say nothing. New Black Panthers say we've got to skin white people alive. Set the. And if you think I'm making this up, I have to play it because you're going to forget it as sure as I'm sitting here. There are very dangerous currents running in America. Listen to clip 8. I didn't make it up.
I'm in Trenton, New Jersey right now, my hometown, Black. But we're too weak and sissy to go into Ewing and Lawrenceville and Hamilton, New Jersey, and even across the damn bridge to Myersville and drag some of these damn rusty, dusty-ass crackers out of their home, skin their asses alive, hang their asses up by some damn rope and some trees, stick the pit bulls on them, pour acid on their asses, dump them in the damn river, bring them back up, bust them in the head with rocks. We're just too damn scared for any of these type of maneuvers.
Now, this gentleman from the New Black Panther radio broadcast of 7-16-12 goes on with some other Nobel Prize-winning commentary that I'm sure will attract the attention of Spike Lee in the next, in clip 9.
If you want to be free, you're going to have to get out here and kill some of these dead peckerwoods. You're going to have to kill some of these babies just born 3 seconds ago. You're going to have to go into the damn nursery and just throw a damn bomb in the damn nursery and kill everything white in sight.
Kill everything white in sight. I'm certain that that will not go unnoticed by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which will no doubt invite the Black Panther spokesman to join their board of directors to make certain that they can help weed out other hate groups in the United States of America. So these are very dangerous times. We have a Department of Homeland Security that is nothing more than a sorority house for feminists who are having a good time with trillions of dollars going up in smoke. And instead of focusing on the border and keeping out gangsters coming in from Mexico, they're buying up bullets as fast as they can and keeping their eye on law-abiding American citizens. It's a crazy time because we have, it's sort of Alice in Wonderland. Everything is upside down. And what else? Friends of bludgeon teacher push for release of son who allegedly beat her to death. I can't even follow this. The craziness in the world, I don't know where it's coming from. You look at the New York Post. Karma claims cable killer. Staten Island man who killed his wife over cable TV dies after choking on chicken dinner. You could laugh at it. It's madness. What is it? The pharmaceuticals? Is it the pharmaceuticals? Is it an epidemic of Weinstein's garbage coming out of Hollywood? Is it Hatzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg's wrath coming back to haunt us? What is it? It's hard to tell where it's coming from. So when I say that adding Ryan to the Romney ticket is like trying to spice up Wonder Bread with white rice or white bread with white flour, you have to understand, I respect Ryan as a man. I'm talking about strategic interests, and as a ticket, it didn't augment the ticket at all. Not at all. It's like more Romney, which is not bad, all right, but it's not exciting. What we wanted was something exciting to spice up the ticket. That would have been Alan West. War hero, do I have to say African American? You want to say that, but to me, war hero, third generation U.S. military, all around great American, Alan West. And it would have neutralized Obama's advantage in using the race card. It would have nullified it. It would have brought out all of the hate that we know is inherent in Joe Biden and the left. All of their hatred would have come up, and it would have put Romney over the top. But you know what the Republican establishment is all about. They're blind. They're blind. An overwhelming majority of New Yorkers don't want politicians grilling Chick-fil-A. A poll released today found that voters by a lopsided 83-11% margin felt elected officials shouldn't try to discourage people from eating at Chick-fil-A or any other business. That's absolutely right. We don't need bureaucrats telling us what to do with our lives. They have overactive bladders as it is. And we don't need to... We don't need to hear from them anymore. They have overacted active bladders. The bureaucrats are filled with flatulence, and we don't need any more of it. What else is in the news? Billy's perverse payday. What is this? Cotter's horse hack dies at 63. I don't even know. Why do they run obituaries of people who were on television in 1981? Nobody remembers them. Nobody remembers Cotter. I have no idea why the media thinks that you know a man from a 1981 television show died. But then again, the media and you are two different things. The question is whether the media and I are two different things. I hope that I and the audience are still one and the same. It's hard to tell. I think even my audience has changed. They don't understand me anymore. If I say that Ryan, adding Ryan to Romney, is like adding, like trying to spice up Wonder Bread with white rice, they already hate me. If I say, don't sell drum magazines to the average citizen, they already think Savage is for gun control. I haven't stopped receiving hate mail from that one. Although after I see that the government's buying up every hollow point bullet in the world, I'm starting to think that the government should issue drum magazines to every law-abiding American citizen. And body armor. I mean, if the government's buying hollow point bullets, why shouldn't we buy hollow point bullets? If the government is buying bulletproof vests to protect itself from Islamists who may be unleashed if Israel attacks Iran, why shouldn't we protect ourselves and our towns and villages? Why shouldn't we have any home defense leagues in every town of America? Why shouldn't the men and women who are armed in every small town in America form little home defense leagues? Why? I mean, these are very important questions, and by the way, the day will come that this question may not be so bizarre as it may have just sounded to you, you know, sitting in your car or whatever. But I'm a unique individual with my own view of things, so I wouldn't expect you to see the world the way I see it. Any man who takes the Old Testament into an Indian buffet restaurant and actually reads it while eating the food can't be all sane, you would probably think. Or could he be more sane than you might think? I mean, does it make me crazy to sit with a Bible in an Indian buffet restaurant? Or does it make me a member of a hate group? Do you think that the Southern Poverty Law Center would declare the Bible a hate book if they could? They have already. They've already declared the Bible a book of hate. That shows you how twisted the world is. If the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a hate group by all definition, and which has the ear of the government, could declare the Family Research Council a hate group because the Family Research Council supports Christian values, that means that the Bible is a book of hate, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. Now, I don't know whether to read the Bible literally, figuratively, as a book of poetry, as a book of history. You know what I'm saying? But there's some pretty amazing statements in the Bible. Some people believe the Bible is a literal document, and they follow it by every word. Orthodox Jewish people still practice the Bible to a great extent. They don't follow it literally, incidentally, because if they did, they would stone adulterers to death, and they don't. Even the Orthodox Jewish practitioner of the Bible has modernized to a great extent. The only people who actually follow the Old Testament to the letter of the law are the fanatic Muslims who still stone adulterers to death. See, they took the Old Testament and they wrote their Quran based upon these old laws. And then those who still follow the eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and stonings and things of that nature. That's why in Saudi Arabia they still cut people's heads off and cut their hands off. But we're not supposed to notice that. We're only supposed to see them buying diamonds at Tiffany. See, we're only supposed to see the Saudis at Tiffany. I was in Tiffany yesterday. For some, I'm not into diamonds, but after reading the Bible and having the Indian meal, I went into some jewelry stores in downtown San Francisco. I don't know why. I mean, I just wanted to do something different. So I went and looked at very expensive amethyst rings. For some reason, I don't even wear rings. You know that? I have no jewelry on my body. I'm like a throwback. I have no jewelry, no chains, no this, no that. I'm very simple in that regard. So, I don't know, I looked at amethyst rings for some reason, and I really was enchanted by the whole history of the amethyst and what kind of stone it is, and its aluminum oxide, and the star amethyst, and how much they cost, how much per carat. The guy showed me, I'm not going to buy it, showed me a 5-carat ring that was $100,000, right? So I said, look, I don't pay retail. How much do you really want? He said, $100,000. I said, look, kiddo, I'm originally from New York. Stop with the list price. I'm not here from Shanghai on a shopping binge. But they wouldn't come down. They wouldn't bargain. So I didn't. But nevertheless, I went and looked on the internet. I think it was about $4,000 in actual value as opposed to the $100,000 that Tiffany asked. I don't know. How do you know what diamonds are really worth? Especially, you don't know if they're real. That's the secondary problem, is that a lot amethyst or precious stone can be made in a laboratory. Diamonds can be made now in a laboratory. It's one of the reasons I don't wear them. They sparkle, but so what? A lot of things sparkle. Snow sparkles, and it's free. And it disappears when the heat, you know what I mean? A lot of things sparkle, but if you like them, good luck to you. I don't know. Why is a diamond ring considered the thing to get for an engagement ring? Where did that originate, that you're supposed to buy a diamond? Do we have any advertisers that sell diamonds, Beowulf? I have to risk alienating a diamond advertiser now. But why is a diamond a gift to give a woman that you want to marry? Why not give her a poodle? What if instead of buying a diamond, you bought her a poodle? Well, why not that? Why not buy a woman a poodle? where do some traditions originate? It's a very interesting question. And why do they maintain? Why do certain traditions maintain? Like, okay, I'll stop right here. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What should I ask you? I have no idea what to ask you. Adding Ryan to the Romney ticket is like trying to spice up Wonder Bread with white rice. Not a bad line. I'm going to vote for Romney Ryan, but you don't get my point. I'm not really criticizing Ryan. I'm criticizing the blindness of the Republican National Committee. I'm criticizing the blindness of the Republican establishment. And, you know, they should have diversified the ticket to appeal to a wider audience, a woman. You say, well, what woman? Jan Brewer. Let's start with Jan Brewer. You don't like Alan West? It could have been a Romney Brewer ticket. The woman just stood up to Obama in Arizona. I won't bore you with the details. She's tough as nails. She's a true patriot. She stands for America. She's the antithesis of Janet Napolitano. Okay? Jan Brewer. It would have been a Romney Brewer ticket. Wonderful. Women would have loved it. For a number of reasons. One, she's real. Two, she's not particularly devastatingly beautiful, where she would threaten ordinary women. I'm laying it on the line because I know how people think. Very beautiful women are not very good choices because the average woman is you know, challenged by that and offended by it. So Jan Brewer would have been perfect. Again, outside the establishment. Again, too real for the Republican Party. Again, possibly would have helped Romney have a slam dunk, so they didn't pick her. A Romney Brewer ticket would have been fantastic, especially since the word Brewer can be used by the Tea Party in many different ways. It would have been perfect. But, okay, they didn't pick her. She would have been a perfect Brewer for the Tea Party. A Romney Brewer ticket would have been a perfect brew for the Tea Party, which is the base that you need, whether the Southern Poverty Law Center hate group cares or not. The Tea Party is going to determine the election. That's right. Unless the Tea Party members are motivated to come out en masse and vote, Romney can't win. It's that simple. So, what else do you want to talk about? I raised one good question today amongst many. I did a fairly good show. I give myself an 80 for today's work so far. I'm giving a self-grade. My energy's not up where it was. My mind is not firing on my normal 16 cylinders. It's running on about 15 and a half. I have a 16-cylinder engine in between my ears, and I have about 15 and a half cylinders working today. I got to have the spark plugs clean. Well, it's fuel-injected, okay? It's a fuel-injected brain. How do you clean fuel injectors if you're a human being? I know what it is. It's the sugar I had yesterday. If I vary my diet at all, I pay for it for 2 or 3 days. I am so controlled. I'm like a fighter in a ring, and I've been all my adult life. And if I vary my diet or my patterns, I can feel it in the show, my head. But, I mean, if I do a B, it's considered a triple A to anyone else. Not boasting or anything. It's just the way it is. So what would you like me to talk about? I did a lot of stuff that's good today. Well, I mean, I got no Bible calls. I got loads of gun callers because I violated the first rule of talk radio. There are 4 topics you cannot mention, which I won't tell you because then I'll give my competition the rules that I learned, and I don't want them to know anything that I know. One of them is don't talk about guns because you'll never get rid of the gun nuts. That's all. Never bring up a gun topic because that's all you're ever going to hear for the rest of your life. And I'm a gun owner. I mean, go to michaelsavage.com. Am I the... Here it is. I'm going to make a challenge right now. What's this? I don't want to see this now. Top U.S. Army general accused of living large on taxpayers' dime. Four-star Army General William Kip Ward under investigation for allegedly spending hundreds of thousands of government dollars on travel and hotels as the leader of the U.S. Africa Command. Really? A corrupt general in the U.S. military? Cows in Berkeley? Impossible. A general who's corrupt? Impossible. Aren't they all war heroes? Don't all of those little things on their chest mean that they're... Well, you get the picture. Anyone could be corrupt, you know. What was I talking about? Oh, about guns. I told you I shouldn't do it, but I did it. Would you please go to my website? What? Oh, every time I go on my website, it starts with that soundbite. I wish we could get rid of it. On the bottom left, on the bottom right, Michael on his high school rifle team. And you will see, I'm not making it up. I believe I'm the only member of the American media. I'm gonna put myself out on the line. I put out a challenge to everybody in the American media. Can anybody in talk radio prove that they were a member of their high school rifle team other than me? That's a very important point. I, Michael Savage, am the only member of talk radio, television radio, that I know of that was on his high school rifle team. I challenge Rush Limbaugh to put a picture of himself on his rifle team. Sean Hannity to put, maybe he could find a picture of himself with a nail gun. But I don't believe a nail gun putting up white wall or whatever it's called, wallboard, is the same as owning a rifle. Would you say a nail gun would qualify Sean Hannity to say he was on his high school rifle team? No. So, okay, was Rush on his high school rifle team? No. Was Hannity on the nail gun team? Maybe. Number three in radio, Michael Savage, yes, he was on his high school rifle team. Was Glenn Beck on his rifle team? No. He was either an alcoholic bum at the time, a schizophrenic nut, and wasn't allowed to drive a car or operate heavy machinery, so I doubt it. I don't think he would have been allowed to own a rifle in those days by his own admission. So who's left in the top five or ten? I have some friends in the radio business. I haven't met them yet, but I know I do. I mean, some of the friends in the radio business who I don't know may have been on rifle teams. I don't know who they are. Jerry. Was Jerry Doyle on the rifle team? No, he's a great guy, but I don't think he was on the rifle team. Laura Ingram, lover, wasn't on the rifle team. I'm sure she owns a gun, or I would guess. I don't think she was on the rifle team. So Michael was on his high school rifle team from his forthcoming book, Train Tracks, October 2012, Harper and Brothers. HarperCollins, sorry. Great picture. My glad I found it. You see a little check over my head that says me? Holding on to my gun for dear life. You know, there's something very Freudian about the way I'm holding the gun. I must tell you, I'm looking at it now. I'm embarrassed. I may have to take the picture down. This is my rifle. This is my gun. I won't say the rest of that. You guys who have been in the Army know that one. This is my rifle. This is my gun. That is for fun. No, I noticed the other guys are they're holding the weapon a different way than I am. You see, I already showed early signs of being a little different than everybody else. Where are they today? Where's that tall, handsome guy on the right? I wonder if he's still alive or with a... Probably has an oxygen tree somewhere in Boca Raton.
Oh, see, I remember the kid on the right. I remember him. He was on the team. Wasn't a very funny kid.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You've got to listen to some of the audio today that we got for you on the Savage Nation. Here's Mitt Romney finally speaking out against Obama.
Everywhere I go in America, there are monuments that list those who have given their lives for liberty. There's no mention of their race, their party affiliation, or what they did for a living. They lived and died under a single flag, fighting for a single purpose. They pledged allegiance to the United States of America. So, Mr. President, take your campaign of division and anger and hate back to Chicago and let us get about rebuilding and reuniting America.
And here's Mr. Ryan finally taking on the criminal regime of Obama.
No. That's right. Just for the rest of you, he said, look, no teleprompter. All right.
And here's the crazy Biden, the mentally deficient Biden, talking about Romney and Ryan.
They're both good men, but they have fundamentally flawed judgment, in my view. They call, when they talked about their plan, not just their budget plan, but their plan across the board, they called it gutsy. Gutsy. No, I'm serious. Now look, what's gutsy about giving millionaires another tax break? What's gutsy about gutting Medicare, Medicaid, education? What's gutsy? Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen this movie before. And we know how it ends. Look, there's nothing fundamentally different in what the Republican Congress and the Governor Romney proposed than what the policy of the previous 8 years was. Literally, nothing.
Then the crazy Biden makes some racist comments against Republicans.
They've said it. Every Republican's voted for it. Look at what they value and look at their budget. And what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Giuliani thinks something is wrong with Biden? Thinks?
I've never seen a vice president that has made as many mistakes, said as many stupid things. I mean, there's a real fear if, God forbid, he ever had to be entrusted with the presidency, whether he really has the mental capacity to handle it. I mean, this guy just isn't bright. He's never been bright. He isn't bright. And people think, well, he just talks a little too much. Actually, he's just not very smart.
Now, where is the media outrage over the racist and violent comments from these Black Panthers?
I'm in Trenton, New Jersey right now, my hometown, Black. But we're too weak and sissy to go into Ewing and Lawrenceville and Hamilton, New Jersey, and even across the damn bridge to Marsville and drag some of these damn rusty, dusty-ass crackers out of their home, skin their asses alive, hang their asses up by some damn rope and some trees, sick the pit bulls on them, pour acid on their asses, dump them in the damn river, bring them back up, bust them in the head with rocks. We're just too damn scared for any of these type of maneuvers. If you want to be free, you're going to have to get out here and kill some of these damn peck of woods. You're going to have to kill some of these babies just born 3 seconds ago. You're going to have to go into the damn nursery and just throw a damn bomb in the damn nursery and kill everything white in sight.
But that's not all. Listen.
All of you getting ready to go give your vote. What are you voting for? You're getting ready now, gearing up to go get you some Mitt Romney in your life, or re-vote for Obama. What the hell are you voting for? If we don't have land, bread, clothing, housing, freedom, justice, and equality, what the hell are you voting for? The bottom line is America is a fascist state, and the execution arm of the state has always been the police department. We, the new Black Panther Party, are saying this. We're saying that the Republican Party does not have a vested interest in the well-being of Black people. Only boot-licking Uncle Toms, such as Clarence Thomas and Herman Cain, pledge loyalty to this racist party. Mitt Romney will not win. And if he does, he still ain't gonna win. Trust me, Mitt Romney I'm telling you, he's a racist, a straight-up racist, a racist cutthroat CEO.
Okay, moving on. Well, the shooting at the Family Research Council is on everyone's lips today. A so-called gunman opens up with a gun at a conservative Family Research Council. It turns out he had a Chick-fil-A bag. Okay, so what are they holding back from us? The ever-useful FBI says that they don't know the gunman's motive. We do know that the bag he was carrying from Chick-fil-A is a representative of the fast food restaurant whose president was attacked from homosexual activists after he said he did not agree with same-sex marriage. Sources told a news service that after the guard took away this killer's would-be killer's gun, the shooter said, "Don't shoot me. It was not about you. It was what this place stands for. Stands for the family, and they're attacked, and the FBI has not arrested him for a hate crime or domestic terrorism? It's unbelievable to me." But that's not all. You heard what the Black Panthers did? Oh, you haven't heard that? Didn't make it to your local paper? Black Panther spokesmouth Chuan Kweli encourages blacks to kill white babies. Did you hear this? He says, "I'm in Trenton, New Jersey right now, and we're too wussy to go into the neighbors to drive out these rusty, dusty crackers out of their homes, skin them alive, hang them by some damn rope in some trees, sick the pit bulls on them, pour acid on their behinds, dunk them in the river, bring them back up, bust them in the head with a rock. We're just too scared for any of these types of maneuvers." Then the Black Panther says, "If you want to be free, you're going to have to kill some of these blanks. You're going to have to kill these babies just born 3 seconds ago. You're going to have to go into the nursery and throw a damn bomb and kill everything white in sight. I rest my case. Obama has unleashed racist hate like I've not seen in this nation in its history. And this is the new Black Panther Party protected by the Justice Department. It's unbelievable to me what's going on, but what's coming is worse than what's going on." Let's see what else is on MichaelSavage.com. It's not good news today, but it is news. Who do you think poses the biggest terrorist threat in America today? Returning war veterans, militia groups, conservatives critical of big government, or Black Panthers who have made violent racist threats against whites? And yet, why do you think the Obama administration and the frat house at DHS, the sorority house at DHS, refuses to act against these Black Panther terrorists? Some of these remarks came from a Black Panther radio show. Why wouldn't Obama's FCC investigate this? You know why. It's an arm of the government. Obama to sign up millions of illegals in time to vote. Millions and millions of illegals. What Obama has done is unconstitutional. He frankly could be impeached for it. He frankly must be impeached for it before the election, which may be the last free election we have in this country. Yes, I believe Obama should be impeached personally. Also on MichaelSavage.com, 6 black teens. This is from the Cincinnati Inquirer. I'm not making these stories up. The news is making these stories up. 6 black teens beat a white man because they were just bored, but it was not a hate crime. Not a hate crime? Biden, crazy Biden, has a record with slave-themed remarks. In France, media covers up identity of rioters in France. It's the Muslims, stupid. Speaking of Muslims, German city to recognize Islamic holidays. How do you like that? At the same time here in America, retired special ops officers attack Obama over the Bin Laden bragging and leaks to the press. They finally understand the danger we are in. Let's go to the bottom of MichaelSavage.com. For those of you who don't like me for my comments on guns, there's a picture of Michael Savage on his high school rifle team from his forthcoming book, Train Tracks. That's right. Before you were born, I owned a gun. MMA fighter, reality TV host arrested for burglary after reportedly being found naked in church. Don't understand that one. I don't know if you caught this, but my Bhagwan Sri Obama article in WorldNet Daily, I said that the Democrat Party today is closer to a cult than it is a party. Well, if you missed it, you can still catch it. Oh, by the way, your commander-in-chief permitted a Russian attack submarine to sail around the Gulf of Mexico. It was armed with long-range cruise missiles and our submarine fleet was too busy converting their missile tubes to female accommodations to even track it. That's the new Navy under Barack Admiral Obama. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Movie Theater Massacre, forgotten already, gone. Water under the bridge. But that's the human condition. You can't, it's yesterday's news. So what if, you know, hundreds were injured or whatever? Who could count? Another massacre. That's what they're covering now on Fox News. Someone ought to tell him about that suit, Shepard Smith. Looks like he's advertising. You ought to cut a, he has a cutaway there. I don't like it. I don't like the way the cutaway on his bottom of his jacket looks. I don't know what's with him. Very, very undignified, to be honest with you. Doesn't anyone, like, tell him at Fox News what their suits look like to the viewer? He's got one button, his guts hanging out, and the cutaway is cut so severely that you're looking at the top of his pants. What is he, advertising something there? And he looks bizarre. His eyes look demonic. Do you know Shep Smith's eyes starting to look demonic? They look crazy eyes. It's like O'Reilly. He's running every week. Polls show Obama's surging. Everyone knows he's falling, except O'Reilly has a poll between himself and his loofah. O'Reilly and a loofah in a shower decided that Obama's surging. How do they get away with it? I'm shocked. And yet you watch these people. God bless you. God bless you. It's like crop circles. It's like seeing Jesus in a raindrop. I mean, watching Fox News is the equivalent of seeing Jesus in a raindrop outside of a Tijuana chapel. You have to have the same faith that you would see in a raindrop to believe you're getting news when you're watching anything on television. But look, I'm not doing news today. I'm talking about Chick-fil-A and cars, which is not so bizarre when you think about it, in that you need a car to go to Chick-fil-A. There is no Chick-fil-A down here. I would have had a chicken today. I got some pollo from a tropical pollo place. There was about a quarter of an ounce of chicken and then a lot of mango. Don't people complain about anything anymore? I'd rather go to Publix and get a chicken for $4.95. The dog loves the chicken. I've given up. The one restaurant I like down here in Florida went out of business, the Cuban place. I cannot believe it. Got a chain of them, they're gone. Empty, you come. See, this is what I'm talking about. A place that you assume is going to be there and it's not. No advance notice. What do you better enjoy every minute of this show, I'm book, when it'll be like the Cuban restaurant in the Florida town that I'm in that disappeared, that was there for forever. Man charged after gator eats his hand. Did you hear that story? A tour guide on an air boat in Florida was showing people where alligators were, and he, like, threw something in the water to get the gators jumping, and a gator ripped his hand off. The morons with the badges and the guns charged him for violating a rule of feeding gators. The guy just lost his hand to make a living, and the dumb cops charged him with a crime because he threw, like, a piece of fish to an alligator. We're living in an insane world. Nothing makes sense anywhere anymore. Nothing. sandwiches with needles in them. Well, you can't blame that on Romney or Obama, that's for sure. A passenger on an Air Canada flight found a sewing needle in a catered sandwich. And again, where did it come from? Again, the spokesmouth, safety is our top priority. Where did this come from? Victoria, British Columbia to Toronto. Oh, yeah, I can pretty much figure out who's working in the kitchens there. Company said, Gate Gourmet, a 20-year-old company provided prepared sandwiches at Delta, said the sandwiches originated at the firm's facility in Amsterdam. You know who they hire in Amsterdam, don't you? Go take a look. Take a look at the company brochure. You'll know who put the needle in the sandwich. The company said that their job is, to provide perfect. Safety is our top priority. How does anyone take a job in PR? Safety is always our top priority, so we're taking this matter very seriously. The guy bit into a sandwich, and a needle went into the roof of his mouth. And they put out a PR statement. Amazing. Okay, that's good. Tainted food now. Needles and airline sandwiches. It wasn't bad enough being groped by a TSA agent, a perv. Now you got to worry about a needle in the roof of your mouth. God. There's no security in the world.
Savage.
Nancy Pelosi says Obama created many expansions of freedom. Let's listen to Nancy Pelosi in clip one. Let's hear this one.
The centerpiece of the period of time when we were in the majority and the president Barack Obama was in the White House. Now, remember, he came into office and the first bill that he signed was the Lilly Ledbetter Act to end discrimination for women in the workplace. And one of the last bills he signed in that congressional term was the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Ending.
Yeah, that's going to really help him in the military. There's no question it's really helping him in the polls within the military. That's been a big hit in the military. It's been a hit with Leon Panetta and the people around them, but I don't think it's been a big hit in the military. I think these people are so out of touch with reality, they don't even know what they're talking about. Then we have Mitt Romney on free enterprise and the world's dictators during a speech in Warsaw, Poland. All right, let's see. Let's listen to 9, not 8, 9. I want to hear 9.
Just to the east of here, the people of Belarus suffer under the oppressive weight of dictatorship. Syria has killed thousands. This brutal dictator responsible for the lives of thousands of his own people. In Latin America, Hugo Chavez leads a movement characterized by authoritarianism and repression. And in Russia, once promising advances toward a free and open society have faltered.
But at least someone is saying it. As moderate and as modest as it is, Obama is not saying these things. Obama is catering to the dictators of the world. So let's hear it for Romney. It's the most we're going to get out of anyone today is this kind of moderation in the defense of liberty, which is a no virtue as far as I'm concerned, but it's the only virtue that we're going to get. Okay? That's like expecting, well, okay, let's not make the comparison. 1-800-449, a spokesman says no other needles were reported in other sandwiches. The incident is similar to recent reports of needles in Delta flight food coming from Amsterdam. Can you imagine this? You're better off taking your own food on a plane. Do they let you do that anymore, take your own food? It's certainly safer to make a sandwich in the kitchen than eat a sandwich on an airplane today with a sewing needle in the roof of your mouth. Okay, let's start with the callers on the Savage Nation. Sacramento, Jason, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I got a quick question for you. You were talking about earlier China doing a lot to advance itself. They're undermining American authority. In your opinion, what does the United States or what can we do to, you know, make it fair or fight back? Because I don't see Obama or Romney, for that matter, taking a strong stance against China.
Well, you could start by not ordering Chinese takeout. Oh, come on, I'm just joking. The answer is you can't do a thing about China's doping of children and stealing them from their parents and to turn them into trained SEALs. There's nothing you can do about it. It's the soulless individuals at the network that's running the Olympics who let them get away with it without even noting it. It's the ghoulish eyes of Shep Smith on Fox News that will tell you all you need to know. Just look at the crazed eyes of Shepard Smith and the way he has a jacket that's cut away at his crotch. You'll know that there's no hope. Thank you for the call. You can't do a thing about China. I was joking when I said don't get Chinese takeout. Come on, I hope you. Because I know there's nothing you could say anymore that people don't take either seriously or too seriously or not seriously enough. Here, Iran faces more sanctions, but are they working? Are you kidding me? That's slowing down Ahmadinejad? It's not slowing him down. He's still invited to the United States and to the UN by Obama. Obama still loves him. What? Who stopped him? Nothing. Chick-fil-A Day draws huge crowds. Lines form at restaurants across U.S. as CEO sticks by traditional marriage view, but protesters plan a kiss-in event on Friday. I hope they buy chicken before they kiss. Or should they buy the chicken before they kiss or after they kiss? What if the protesters who are going to protest Chick-fil-A with a kiss-in on Friday don't buy chicken at all? Can they be thrown out? No, I don't mind if they protest. They have a right to. But shouldn't they buy chicken before they engage in a kiss-in, or should they buy the Chick-fil-A after they kiss? I would say that they should kiss first and then order the chicken. I think it's going to get awfully messy. It's very hard to kiss with a drumstick in you. Chick-fil-A draws both sides of marriage debate. So today, they sold out all their chicken. The other side is going to go out. The ones who hate the Bible. The ones who hate traditional America. And let's see what they're going to do. Bigger issue, Chick-fil-A appreciation. Black conservatives are against the protest. Gays and lesbians to share a public display of affection at the home of the chicken sandwich. Well, that's fine. It's a free country, but are they going to buy chicken? That's what I want to know. All I care about is, will they be as good to the Chick-fil-A people as those today? I think they're going to kiss and not buy chicken. They're not going to kiss and tell. Imagine they're not going to kiss. I think they're just going to have a kiss and a no chicken. See, this is cheap. You know, if you want to have a kiss in, at least you could buy a chicken leg or a wing, but you do it after you kiss. 1-800-449-8255. Alabama, Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael. I'm a hunter, and I like to eat venison. You're a nutritionist. It's real good for you, right?
Yes, low cholesterol, wild game, healthy if it's not filled with worms, but you cook it, I assume.
Yeah, yeah. You're also a religious guy, right?
No, I'm not religious. I am spiritual, but I'll answer the question if I can.
Well, okay, do you know what a cloven hoof is?
Yes.
And does venison fall into that category?
Yes, but so what?
I mean, what is a cloven hoof?
Because you're not living in biblical times. You can't eat a camel either. Do you crave camel meat?
No. Well, what is a cloven hoof? How do you depict a cloven hoof? How do you know?
That's very interesting. Well, what's a non-cloven hoof, for example? What animal doesn't have a hoof? What animal has a hoof that's not cloven? Is there a religious Jewish person in the audience who could tell us what a cloven... Okay, a pig has a cloven hoof, for example. It's cleaved. It's cleaved. It has a cleave in it. So if an animal has a cleave in its hoof, don't eat it. If it doesn't have a cleave in its hoof, you can eat it. So what animal doesn't have a cloven hoof? Does a horse have a cloven hoof?
No.
A horse? Well, now, take the shoe off a horse. Underneath that shoe, has anyone ever looked at a horse's foot to see if there's a cleave in it? You're telling me the ancient Israelites could eat a horse? There were no horses in the Middle East in those days.
Yeah, I mean, if you could eat a horse.
If there was a Roy Rogerstein in those days, a Roy Rogerstein or a Gene Autrestein in those days in ancient Israel, would he have eaten a horse? If there is a religious Jewish person... I'm giddy from the news. I can't take it anymore. I feel surprisingly happy. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't understand myself. I feel very good. There's something wrong. I feel like Buddy Hackett after he went into the military. Remember that joke? I love that joke. One of my favorites. Buddy Hackett, no one remembers him. He was one of the funniest guys in the early 50s. He was a fat guy, very funny, self-deprecating. He said when he was drafted into the Army, they sent him to a fort in New Jersey. I forget the name of it already. He said they put him on a typical military diet. It was no fat. It was low in garbage. He said for the first time in his life after he ate, he didn't have indigestion. He went to the doctor. He thought something was wrong with himself. He was so used to eating the bad food that he grew up on. I thought that was a hilariously funny story. I don't know if anyone laughs at any of this anymore. To me, it's funny. It's like a 1957 Cadillac. You know what I'm saying? It's like the Godfather 1. It's like an early Al Pacino movie. It's like Robert De Niro in his early movies as opposed to when he became a comedian. Cloven hoof, associated with the devil. But I don't think that's why the ancient Israelites were forbidden to eat unclean animals that had cloven hooves, because it wasn't just a cloven hoof. The dietary laws of Judaism, kosher laws, as set forth in the Torah and the Talmud are very clear. Animals that both chew their cud or ruminate and have cloven hooves are allowed, for like a cow. A cow has a cloven hoof, but the cow chews their cud. They ruminate. While an animal that has only one of these characteristics are considered unclean, and Jews can't eat them. I have no idea why. This rule would exclude the camel and the hare. Why? Because they ruminate, but they have no cloven hooves. And the pig can't be eaten because it has cloven hooves, but does not ruminate. Whoever came up with these rules, I'll never understand. And they don't make any sense to the modern person, but people follow these rules because they're traditional and because it's in the ancient writings of the Torah and the Talmud, and they're very serious, so that's the end of it. You could argue that the pig was rejected by the ancient Israelites in those days because the pig rolled in filth, the pig rolled in mud. The Muslims picked up on that, so they don't eat pork. Does it make sense in the modern world not to eat a ham sandwich? I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We're talking about cloven hooves in politicians. I mean, you can almost identify the Democrats as chewing their cud. And don't they chew their cud and have cloven hooves? If you were to remove the shoes of most liberal Democrats, you think that they have cloven hooves? I wonder. I often wonder if they're fully human. I can't imagine the things they say about this country and about tradition and about marriage and about children and about police and about the military if they're fully human. I don't know. I think socialist Democrats may have cloven hooves underneath their shoes. That's enough said on that. I know. If they chew their cud and they have a cloven hoof, that's another story. I can't imagine that they chew their caviar and have a cloven hoof. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com. Storms coming in. Political storms. You already forgot the movie theater massacre. Romney this, Obama that. Multi-protocol label switching, MPLS, cloven hoof. So you can't eat an animal if it does the two things or one. What does it say? Hold on. I want to see it again. I want to make sure I got it right. The devil has a cloven hoof. Okay. Those that have only one of these two characteristics are considered unclean, and Jews are forbidden to eat them. An animal that both chews a cud and has cloven hooves are allowed. I don't understand. That's a cow. Cow ruminates. Whereas those that have only one of these two characteristics are considered unclean and Jews are forbidden to eat them. And then in addition to that, they throw in the camel, the hyrax, and the hare. Because although they ruminate and have no cloven hoof, who knows? I can't follow. I eat a shrimp. Is that the biggest crime in the world, a shrimp cocktail? Is God going to really throw me into a fire because I ate a shrimp? Or a ham sandwich once when I was 11. I don't know. Look, I'm not a traditionally religious guy. I respect those who are. But does it make me evil that I enjoy a shrimp cocktail every once in a while? I don't eat them anymore, by the way, not because of the cloven shell. You see, they're filthy. I won't eat them because the whole ecosystem is so contaminated. Like for dinner tonight, I've given up on restaurants. We went to the market to buy mahi. You know how much it cost? $32 a pound. The guy said we can't even get it anymore. It's fished out. The commercial fishing boats from Japan and the other countries are stealing the fish, sucking them in like with vacuum cleaners. I don't think we're going to have to worry too much about what to eat soon. We'll be glad to eat anything. You'll see what's going to happen. The rich will be eating, and that'll be it. Fortunately, I don't think I'll be starving. I'm not going to worry too much about what you're going to eat soon. You'll be glad to have anything. The price of wheat, the price of soy, the price of corn, all through the roof. Now, not only the drought, but also what Obama's done to the economy. That's the real reflection of inflation. It's going to be in food. A cloven hoof is a hoof split into two toes. Examples of mammals with this type of hoof are deer and sheep. Wait a minute. Jews can eat a sheep. Don't they eat sheep? Jewish person can eat a sheep, right? But they can't eat a goat. They can eat a sheep, I know that, right? But they can't eat a goat. I don't understand that. It's very complicated. How did this originate? I don't mean to mock it, but is there a biblical scholar who can explain to me how the Jewish people came to revere this rule and who wrote it? I know it's set forth in the Torah and the Talmud. Okay, an animal that both chews their cud and has cloven hooves are allowed to be eaten. That's like a cow. But if an animal has only one of these two characteristics, they're considered unclean and Jews are forbidden to eat them. That would exclude the camel and the hare, because although they ruminate and have no cloven hooves, they're excluded. They're thrown into the... Why? I don't get it. Why can't you eat a hare? What if you had a rabbit? Italians eat rabbits. Every Italian who eats a rabbit is an evil person? I don't get it. This is one thing I can never understand. Thank God it's not a shrimp fillet. I'm glad it's Chick-fil-A. Would people line up if it was shrimp fillet? They could open a new chain, by the way. That could be a problem, because when the kiss-in occurs on Friday, I don't think there's going to be a chance of any choking if you're going to have a kiss-in with chicken, because it's large enough for people to know they've eaten it. But if you were a shrimp fillet store and they had a kiss-in, you could choke to death on the shell. The chitin could catch in your throat. You could die. If you're going to go to a Chick-fil-A protest on Friday and have a kiss-in to show that you object to their traditional marriage stance, I would suggest that you not eat chicken prior to the kiss-in. I think you should eat the leg or the wing after the kiss-in, but not before it. I certainly wouldn't eat a shrimp cocktail prior to the kiss-in, I'll tell you that. What if the shell got caught in your throat? You could die altogether. You don't want that to happen. See, I'm lightening it up. Unclean animals and religion, the devil references. Food laws of Judaism concerning cloven hooves in the Torah and in Maimonides' code of Jewish law is in the Mishnah Torah. People have every right to believe and follow whatever they wish. I just don't understand it myself, to be frank with you, and I'm not mocking it. I don't understand it. A deer is an excellent animal to eat. I had venison a few times in a restaurant. I can't say I like the idea of eating the deer. I have them on one of my properties in California. They run around. I know they crap in the creek, and as a result, the water is contaminated. I had to put filters in if I want to drink the water after the apocalypse. I had to put in a special filter because I don't want to eat E. coli is in the water. I have beautiful water. There's not a contaminant. There's not a chemical contaminant in my water, my well water. It's actually a reservoir. A little reservoir comes out from underground. But I had it analyzed. It has E. coli in it. Where's the E. coli from? From a hoof, a deer, or the deer and the antelope play up on the hill, and they do what they do. They don't have a. So it goes in the groundwater, gets in it. You can't drink that, obviously. So you have to have to decontaminate the water. Speculated during the Eocene period, hoofed marsh dwellers carried their body weight mainly on two of the middle toes. That's something only Spielberg could understand, because he did a whole movie on the Eocene, didn't he? Prior to the close of the Eocene. Do you think Spielberg's... No, let's forget that. His ancestors knew about the cloven hoof. I don't like restaurants that serve rare game. I've been in restaurants that serve... endangered species. I won't go to those restaurants. I would never eat a sea turtle. I think anyone who eats a sea turtle should be arrested. Bashar al-Assad, he's the new evil man on the earth. Bashar al-Assad. Wait until you see the dolls who take over with Obama's help. Wait. Look, Bashar al-Assad is certifiable bad guy, killer, blah, blah, blah. Wait till you see what happens after Hillary Clinton, George Soros, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and Obama get their way. And the so-called Syrian rebels take over the country, and they get their hands on the chemical weapons. Wait till you see what prizes they are and how they treat those. Wait till you see what they do to the Christians and the Jews in Syria. Wait. That'll be not covered by Wolf Blitzer. That won't be covered because they're rebels and rebels. You're a rebel, and I know you're good. And the rebels are the good guys, and Assad is the bad guy. You'll see the American people are so naive, it's frightening. Rebel, good. Bashar al-Samahar is bad. Bashar, bad, kills people. Rebels, good. So when the rebels start killing the Christians and burning down their churches as they're doing in Egypt, you won't see it anymore. Because Panetta will not permit you to see it. You'll not see that anymore.
Savage.